We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm excited to welcome to Chapel Hill Baptist Church, our very new, been here a couple of weeks now, months or so now, and it's going to how long you've been in the Baptist world. Remember back in the day you had Director of Missions, Associational Missionary, I think they got a new cool term. What are you now? The
Lead Mission Strategist.
Mission Strategist, okay. Preacher, pastor, preacher extraordinaire, whatever. I mean, our names don't change, but we're excited to hear from him today. What makes him really, really cool, besides he loves Jesus, is he spent, how many years?
38.
38 years in Israel. So he just got back from Israel not many months ago. He was living in Israel this time last year. So
right. He
is very interesting, his story. But we talked this week, and he said, what do you want me to preach? And I'm like, look, you let the Holy Spirit lead you. You let the Holy Spirit lead, and I know we'll be blessed. So let me pray for you, brother. Father God, I pray for my brother. I pray, God, that you would speak to us today through him, use him, God, as just your mouthpiece to bring you glory and honor that is rightfully due you. And we're going to give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
It's good to be with you today. Man, I've just gotten to back. We were in Israel for many years. I'm originally from Gordo, Alabama, just down the road. And the Lord called me what's he doing sending a boy from Gordo, Alabama to Israel? I mean, that's a question I had for a long, long time. But the Lord has. I went to the University of Alabama, finished here, worked in the nuclear power industry with Southern Company for 10 years, and then the Lord called me to go to Israel. And he's been a faithful, faithful God. People say, well, how have you stayed for 38 years? And I said, well, it's not my faithfulness, it's the Lord's faithfulness. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to just talk about the Lord's faithfulness and the creation of the state of Israel and what he's doing there. And just open up the word and let the word speak to us. But as I come back, I've just had a chance to meet a number of the pastors around the Tuscaloosa area. And I just have to say, we have been blessed with some really amazing men of God. And you are not an exception to that. You have an amazing pastor, and Pastor Shannon Moses. And since his name is Moses, I brought something with us today. I thought you said show and tell. I thought you said shofar and tell. So this is a shofar. And it was the way that Israel called all the people together to pray and come to the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. It's the way they changed the sound of the charge and come back and say, that's a little bit antiquated, isn't it? But, you know, when I'm here, and this year we had a lot of them, there were a number of sirens that went off when tornadoes come through. It's the same concept. And so, it's also when they went around the walls of Jericho and they blew the shofar and the walls came tumbling down. Also, the shofar will be the last sound you'll hear on the face of the earth. Not today, but when the Lord blows the final trumpet, it will be the sound of the shofar. So I brought it. I thought I would sound it for you today. Is that okay? Would you like to hear it? Okay. These are the traditional blasts of the shofar, you know, even till today, used in synagogues. I'm always afraid I'm just going to blow it. Sorry. But you do know how you have to get one of these, right? Go on a shofari. Sorry. Shofar, show good. Anyway. It really is a call to bring us into his presence. And so, let's pray. Just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we've already asked you that you would speak to us, Lord, not by the voice of a man, but by your Holy Spirit. That you'd teach us what you want us to hear, Lord, that you would speak with to each heart in the place that each heart needs to know. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the mercy that you have given us, that has washed us white as snow, that has washed away our sin. So, Father, we just ask you to come into this place, teach us today by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. In case you're wondering, those are the words. I always end with that, so I never forget Israel. And the last words are B'Shem in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, HaMashiach, the Messiah. And so I always want to remember that. You know, we live in a new covenant that God has given us. So that's what we have. It's called the New Testament. It's a new covenant. But in the scriptures, where does that appear? Where does that section appear? And it's in Jeremiah chapter 31 that he's promising to us a new covenant. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, it says this, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." This is good news, because this covenant came to us and through the blood of Jesus, the Messiah. It was the promised covenant that God would make. This is a covenant when we take the Lord's Supper that we celebrate together. And yet it wasn't dependent on the faithfulness of Israel, because when this was written, Israel was not faithful. And I'm so happy that his new covenant does not depend on my faithfulness. It's my faithfulness depends on his faithfulness. For he is a faithful, faithful Father. And we just need to know that. And I think that's one thing that God has brought me back to proclaim, is that he is faithful whether we are here in Northport, whether we are all the way across the world in Israel. Wherever we are, we serve a faithful God, and he is trustworthy. And it's not dependent on if I mess up or when I don't. He brings us back and he says, repent of your sin, seek forgiveness, and it will flow out from me. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Some people have thought, though, that in these days there's been kind of a falling away. Have you noticed that? There's not as many people who are truly walking with Jesus anymore, and many have fallen away. The world is kind of pulling us away from that. And my son, he's an engineer. He finished at a different school down south of here, Auburn, but he came up to me one day and said, "Daddy, look, I'm an engineer." "Yeah, great, son, I'm really proud of you." He said, "No, Daddy, that means I'm in the sciences." "Okay." And he said, "In sciences, if you have something you believe is true, you don't say what would prove that, you seek what would disprove it. What would make it not true? What would say I'd have to doubt that?" And he said, "Daddy, you know I believe in God. You know I believe and trusted in Jesus. But I found something that I think I can test that with to see if it's true or not." I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "I believe if Israel, the Jewish people, were to seek to exist, I would have to wonder if God exists." And he said, "I believe it's maybe even as powerful as the laws of nature." And this section that we just read in Jeremiah continues. It doesn't stop there with the new covenant and where God pours out his blessing, but it says this in verse 30, still in Jeremiah chapter 31. Thus says the Lord, who gives us the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all they have done, declares the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You see, in Tuscaloosa, I can walk around. How many of you in Tuscaloosa County in Northport have met somebody here from China? China? Yeah? Okay. How about from Mexico? Okay. How about from the Middle East? How many of you have met a Hittite, a Jebusite, an Amalekite? You know why you haven't met any of those people here? Because they ceased to exist. They're no longer there. These ancient people have disappeared. How many of you have ever met somebody that's Jewish? Because they still exist. All the ancient peoples that we read out in the Bible, they've all existed. Even we do meet Egyptians today, but they're not the ancient Egyptians. But these have a lineage that have been carried on forever within the Jewish nation. And because of that, we can know that God exists. Because he has preserved the Jews over and over and over again through persecutions, through times when the world has tried to annihilate them, even in 1930s, with the Holocaust and killing more than 6 million Jewish people. So God is moving today and showing us he is faithful even when his people have not yet entered into this covenant that he's promised to them. And I'm so happy that how many of you have been totally faithful to God since you met him? Yeah, I didn't think I'd see any hands because mine's not up. I'm just asking. Mine's not up. None of us. And I'm so happy then he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. And he still bears with us and he keeps bringing us back and he keeps bringing us closer and he keeps changing us because he loves us. And his faithfulness is not dependent on us, but his faithfulness makes us into a faithful, faithful people. Something happened in 1948. It was the creation of a nation. It's the nation of Israel. It had not been in existence since 70 AD was the destruction of the temple. 135 AD was when the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, and from that time, there was a great dispersion, and they were sent into what's called the diaspora. They were scattered throughout the world. Now, when God scatters, he scatters. And they've been scattered throughout all the world. And so with the creation of the modern state of Israel, something unique happened. This was something, if you don't understand, is unique in all of history. What happened in 1948 was that God had created a place. Now, I was concerned and was thinking one day, just sitting out in Israel, well, Israel was created on sympathies of the world after the Holocaust. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, you're wrong, you're in error, you need to change that. And he sent me to this place. It's in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. It says this, now it came about in the course of many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob, and God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. I want you to notice several things here. First of all, in the midst of their trouble, they cried out to God, and God heard them. And he was concerned for them. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham, and with Isaac, and with Jacob. Do you remember what that covenant was? That I will make your name great. I will multiply your seed as the stars in heaven or as the sand on the seashore. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And in your seed, through your seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's good news, because that we know was fulfilled in Jesus, that we also as Gentiles could receive the Holy Covenant, the new covenant, and find salvation in Jesus and in Jesus alone. So he promised them to bring out, and he moved through an ancient nation, and he called it into existence. And when they cried out, he heard their cry. Now, I want you to notice something. He heard their cry, and he remembered his covenant. And then later on, he says, part of that covenant is all the land of Canaan will be given to them. At the time that they cried out, the only thing that the Jewish people owned, or Israel owned, in the promised land was a grave and a well, and that's it. So God literally begins to move heaven and earth to keep his promises. He brings a burning bush to get Moses' attention, to show him, I'm not done with you yet, Moses. And he brings him out and he sends him back to Egypt. He gives him the plague of leprosy on his hand to show him that he is God. And he said, how will they know? And he said, throw down your staff. And he made the staff into a serpent. And he said, pick it up by the tail. Now, I'm from Alabama. I don't pick up a snake by the tail, thank you. But he told him to pick it up by the tail, and it became a staff again. He sends him into Egypt. He says, let my people go. Pharaoh said no. So God brought 10 plagues against Egypt. And every one of those defeated one of the gods of Egypt, those gods that they worshiped that were no gods at all, showing that he is a faithful and he is a true God and he is the one true God of all heaven and earth. He brought them out of Egypt. He split the Red Sea to let them cross. He brings bread out of heaven. And he brings water out of rocks to do one thing, to keep his covenant relationship that he made even to a faithless nation. Because God is faithful. I want you to notice how huge this thing is now as he's brought them back, because that thing of coming out of Egypt was amazing. We have movies out of it. The Prince of Egypt. But Jeremiah 16, and he says it twice in Jeremiah. I'm just going to read it once from Jeremiah. He says this, therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. He promised, and he has kept his promise. He says that what has happened in our day and in our time is greater even than the Exodus. I remind you, in the Exodus, he had to bring down the greatest military and political power in the world at the time. And he broke it and he brought them out. But to bring Israel back, he had to do something more. I want to read one more scripture, and I'm going to tell you exactly what that was, because Isaiah also refers to this day. He says in Isaiah 43, verses 5 through 7, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east. I will gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. For see, as God has brought them back, he's brought them back from all over. I was in Israel since 1987. In 1989-90, something amazing happened. The Berlin Wall fell. Where is north of Israel? Russia. And the Soviet Union, they would not let the Jews go. And God said, I will say to the north, give them up. and suddenly it opened up, and the Jews from former Soviet Union started flooding into Israel. More, almost a million people moving at one time into Israel from that one place. He brought them not only from the east and the west, but from the north and from the south. Ethiopia, from the south. He said, don't hold them back. And there was a deal between the Ethiopian government and Israel, and the Ethiopian government wasn't letting the Jews go, and they came down in Operation Solomon, and in 1 or 2 days, within a week, he had airlifted almost all the Jews out of Ethiopia and brought them into the land, because he's a faithful, faithful God who keeps covenant. It's something that he's done in our day and our time. Now, I'm going to say very clearly, I'm pro-Israel, okay? I'm unashamed of that. And I'm pro-Palestinian, and I'm unashamed of that. This is not about Alabama and Auburn football, okay? This is about lost people that need Jesus. They need the gospel. The only hope that the world has to see peace in the Middle East is Jesus. That's the hope that we have. A number of years ago, right after the Yom Kippur War, 1973, it was a horrible war and many people died, and Israel almost lost the nation at that time. And there was a gathering of believers after this war, a gathering of believers from the Middle East, and they were meeting in Cyprus. And they were sitting there, there was a my friend, his name is Art Goldberg, and he went to it, and he sat across from a young man, and they just introduced himself, and that young man was from Syria, and he began to weep and to cry, and it was so much that it disturbed the whole place where they were having breakfast. Everybody came around, what's wrong, what's wrong? Finally, he got enough composure. He said, I was a tank commander on the Golan Heights, and you're the first Jew I've ever seen that wasn't in the crosshairs of my gun, and yet you believe in the same Jesus I believe in. Art's son had been a tank commander on the Golan Heights for Israel. And in Jesus, they embraced. This is the hope that we have, that the grace and the mercy that we have been given can go across the hate that has destroyed the Middle East and that will destroy churches and will destroy families. If Jesus lives within us, forgiveness lives within us. If Jesus lives within us, grace lives within us. And I need the grace of so many people. I do so many things wrong. I get it wrong sometimes. And yet when people pour out grace, it makes me want to show grace to others that blow it around me too. Can we do that? Isn't that what he called the church to? He said to the church, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone. If we can't live that out in the church, how can we see it within our society? And so God has called us because we blow it sometimes, but he is faithful, and his faithfulness makes us faithful. So then what is God's will for Israel? He tells us very clearly that he wants that all of Israel will be saved. He says this in Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 27, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of all this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and thus all Israel will be saved. Just as written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So there is coming a day that God will save all the Jewish people that arrive at that time. You'll see it in Zechariah chapter 12. It says, they will look upon me whom they pierced, and they will mourn as one mourns for an only son, as a first begotten child. And so, God, we see a repentance of a nation in that place in the verses that are following it. God will be faithful, but until that time, there has been generations of Jews, and there is a remnant, and there has been a remnant that has been seen continually over time within the scriptures. And that remnant and throughout history has been Jews who have been believed in Jesus. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, there was estimated to be 12 to 24 Jews who believed in Jesus. 40 years later, in 1987, when we got there, the estimate was somewhere around 2,000, maybe 2,500. Today, 40 years later, 35,000 plus. God is on the move. He's removing the veils from the eyes of the Jewish people. And so what is it that will move us? I mean, how many of you want to have your prayers answered? Me too. And John, 1 John 5, 13, 14 says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have in him before, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. First of all, he wants you to know you've got eternal life. We just had a funeral within my family just yesterday. It was sad. It was hard. But that was for us who were left. But we know he had put his trust fully in Jesus. We know his future. We know his eternity. There is no sadness for him. The sadness is for our own separation, because we can know that we have been given eternal life, and death no longer has any sting, because we have a hope in Jesus. But not only that, that if we pray according to his will, he will hear us. And if he hears us, he will answer. Do you believe that? Do you want your prayers answered? Let's pray according to his will. What do you think his will is for Israel? He just told us. He wants all of Israel to be saved. That's what he wants. And how is he going to work it out? How did he work it out before? What did we just say? We've just been talking about what moved God's heart so that he would deal with the faithless nation and give them a new covenant, and he would bring them to the land. Why did he bring them to the land? Because they cried out and he heard their cry. But if the Jews don't know that they need to cry out for salvation, who's going to cry out for them? You had an uncle, an aunt, a father, a mother, a cousin. Somebody was praying for you before you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Who's going to cry out for them? Who? Who? Us? The church? He's raised us up to cry out. We cannot forget that we have to be a praying church. We got to put aside the things that divide us. And we got to put the main thing. That's to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to pray for those who are lost. We need to pray for the nation of Israel in the middle of this, that not only would he save them, not only would he bring them about, but that he would bring salvation to them. They have nobody to cry out. Will we cry out for them? But I want to tell you another thing. The Muslims have no one. You see, traditional Judaism is maybe, it's cast a veil over the eyes of Israel that the lie that you cannot be Jewish and believe in Jesus. And he's breaking through that. But Islam has cast a darkness across the Arabic people. And I would say to that veil that's been over the eyes of the Jewish people, Lord, would you say to that veil, let my people go that they may serve me. And to that darkness, to that Islam that has cast its shadow across many, many peoples in the Middle East and other places around the world, God, would you say to that Islam, let my people go that they may serve me? Will we cry out? Church, will we cry out? I'm afraid if we go to sleep, we will not see God moving according to his will and his way that he says he doesn't even want one to perish. And even in the midst of terrorism, and terrorism has come against us, he says, pray for your enemies. And my prayer is, Lord, would you bring them to the place of finding salvation in you so they can get escape from this hate that they have? Or, if they will not, would you remove them out of the way so that peace can have a chance? And I believe that that's a biblical prayer. I believe God wants to save. And I believe he's saving in our day and in our time. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." I want you to notice a couple of things about the Great Commission. Jesus, throughout all his time, he never used positional authority. Almost always he uses relational authority. It's based on who he is. He didn't say, "Okay, I'm Messiah, therefore wind and waves be still." He just said, "Wind and waves be still." He didn't say, "I'm Messiah, therefore, you know, open the eyes of the blind or rise up and walk." He said, "Just rise up and walk," because of who he was. But in this place, he stops and he uses his positional authority because it's one of the most important things he said. And he said, "All authority on heaven and earth have been given to me. I want you to listen. All authority. Now I'm telling you to go." And because Southern Baptists have been faithful to give to the Lottie Moon program, Lottie Moon offering, and to the cooperative program, and have kept missions as first things, I believe he's blessed us. He has made us faithful. Made us faithful to the call. But I want you to notice something about this call. Who is it given to? It's given to the Jews. There were no Gentile believers when this was given. Now, we as Gentiles have been grafted in not only to the promises, but also the commands of Jesus. And rightly so, we own it. But all the more we need to be praying for Israel, because I believe he will send out from Israel once again the gospel. Not because of who they are, not because of who we are, but because we serve a faithful, faithful Father. And we can take that to the bank. So as we continue to do, I do want you to know something too. Can you note something? He wants to send us to the ends of the earth. Do you realize you are the ends of the earth? Do you know what it took to get the gospel to us? And now he's calling us to take it back to the place it all began, so that all can have a chance to hear, every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. And we will see from every one of those people around the throne, because he has made us faithful to cry out to him according to his will. Let's pray. Father, your grace is so great. Teach us to love one another as you have loved us, Lord, giving one another chances to fail and stand back up. For you said a righteous man falls seven times and yet he rises again. So, Lord, teach us to pour out grace to one another. Teach us to cry out, Father, for the lost. Teach us to go, Father. Teach us to be faithful and make us, because you're faithful, make us a faithful, faithful church. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate you, brother. I want us to all stand this morning, and I'm going to ask Miss Cindy to just play quietly. And here's what I want you to do right there in the stillness, quietness of who you are. Say, "Lord God, what's my role in this?" Just let me kind of lead us in a prayer, okay? Everybody just bow your heads. And after you've heard that, I want you to ask the Lord these questions. Say, "Lord God, why did you save me?" And listen. Just listen to him. Say, "Lord God, why did you save me?" Say, "Lord, why am I still here?" And listen. Say this, say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And listen. Now, I want all of you to look at me. whatever reason you're here, why he's still got you on this earth, and what he wants you to do. A lot of us can't do it right this moment. But one thing we can do is pray. We can pray. One of the things, our brother, is God is faithful, we're weak. God is faithful, we're not. We drift, we're prone to wander. On us in the next little bit, I want us to pray. And I think what he said, I want y'all to let that sink in. I want to just repeat what he said. The uttermost part, we here think uttermost part is there. But when he was speaking those words, y'all, we are uttermost part. We're the other side of the world from where those men were standing when Jesus uttered those words. Go therefore to the uttermost part. I'll be with you. We're the uttermost part. And here we are. We've been given so great a salvation. We've been blessed beyond measure. I want us to pray for God's people. He'll bless those that bless them. He'll curse those that curse them. This morning, I want us to pray for Israel. Pray for the Muslims as well. Okay? Every Wednesday night, we pray for lost people. This morning, we're going to pray for lost people. Those two groups, okay? I want us to bow our heads. Everybody just bow your heads right there in the quietness and the stillness of you. Cry out for salvation and for revival in the people of Israel. The Muslim world, cry out for salvation, for revival. Cry out. Fervent prayer of a righteous man does something. He hears you. Father God in heaven, we thank you that we do not stand in our own goodness and in our own righteousness, but we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are free indeed in Jesus. Our hope is found only in Jesus. There's nowhere else to go but to the Lord. And God, it is in his name that we do pray for salvation, God, for those people who are in desperate need of a Savior. God, we pray for your people. We pray for the Israelite people, the Jewish people, those people, oh, God, back where it all started. Here we are, way over here. God, the people back where it originally began. We pray that revival would start there, that people, sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, grandparents would come to know you as Lord and Savior, that they would hear the gospel. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the faithful men and women who are sharing regularly. Often, they're teaching, they're pouring truth in. Holy Spirit of God, tear that veil away. Let your people go. Let them be free, God. Let revival happen. Let salvation happen, God. Not just to the Jews, to all of them over there in the Middle East, God. Where you started, Jesus, you're going to come back one of these days, and you're going to plant your foot right there. But until then, God, let your Spirit go and let a cleansing, let a revival, let a move of yours happen, God. That, Lord, we only have to say it was you. God, I thank you for using us. I thank you for using each one of us, Lord. You still have us here on this earth for a purpose. You're not done with us. God, you have a plan for us. You want to use us in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. And God, we surrender our lives. We give you our lives. Here we are, Lord God. Send us. We'll go. God, what do you want to do with us? Lord, you heard them earlier pray, God, what do you want me to do? And you speak, Lord, give us boldness to follow through and do it in your power, not in ours. Do it in your ability, not ours. God, be glorified through the rest of the life that we have here on this earth. Be glorified through our existence. Be glorified in and through us, God. Please, God, move in us. Take care of us. God, as we now transition, as we go off to Sunday school, God, we pray that you would be with the teachers, be with the conversations in the room. Let all that's said and done here today honor you. Bless your people. Bless Israel. God, thank you for my brother. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his willingness and his obedience to be simply used by his God and his Creator and Savior. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.